Good morning. What a wonderful way to start the morning service. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. We are together, and this service this morning is from our Cumberland Presbyterian's Women's Ministry, and we are just so glad that you're here. If your normal service to attend is the 8 o'clock service, would you wave at me? All right. If your normal service is the 10 o'clock service, wave at me. If this is your first time ever in our service, wave at me. Wonderful. Now, stand up and greet each other for just a moment before we begin our service. All right. Any announcements that we need to know about? There are lots in the bulletin that I know that we can all read, but maybe there's something special. Kim. Yes, ma'am. Good. All right. Any other announcements that we need to?
Yes.
Where are we? All right. Tonight at 6 o'clock. Any other announcements? Yes, sir. Great. All right. Did I miss any? Yes. Thank you. Great. Yes. All right. Anything else? Any prayer requests and praise reports this morning? Yes. Jeff's mom. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. Good birthday. Yes, Jim. Okay. All right. Lots of concerns, but we know the one to take them to. Anything else? All right. Let's pause for just a moment as we think about our service today and just invite the Lord to be with us today. This morning we do welcome Jesus, who is the light of the world. Our worship this morning is found in your bulletin. It's taken from several scriptures in Ephesians 1. Like the Apostle Paul in his prayer of the Ephesians, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And may the eyes of our heart be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe.
Please stand and turn to 579, Jesus Loves Me. And he does. Loves you too.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he
To you with praise and song and scripture this morning, and we ask that you enter each of our hearts and to open our ears and our eyes and have us to hear what you want us to hear, and that we take it to heart, and that this be a service for you, that our voices sing out loud and that our prayers are done with a joyful heart, that we may bring glory and honor to you this morning. And let us pray as your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's remain standing as we do the Apostles' Creed. Let's don't just say words. This is what we believe, and it's a wonderful thing every day to tell and to talk about what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Probably one of the most precious times of our service, at least for me, is this time where we just confess to the Lord the sins that we have. We are not perfect. And it's wonderful to know that when we do things we shouldn't, say things we shouldn't, when we are outside of the will of God, we can run back to the Father who restores us to communication and life in Him, and I am so glad that we're able to do that. We want to do it this morning, both corporately and individually.
Our confession, or our call to confession, is in Acts. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. Together in unison, righteous God, you have crowned Jesus Christ as Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him and are slow to acknowledge his rule. We give allegiance to the powers of this world and fail to be governed by justice and love. In your mercy, forgive us. Raise us to acclaim him as ruler of all, that we may be loyal ambassadors, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we continue in silent confessing. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness is in 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Amen.
So please turn in your hymnals to 297. Sorry, I love to tell the story. Ventures singing all the songs in what was about probably 10 years ago, the new hymnal. 10 years? We're on number 550. Wow, that's a lot of Sundays. This is number 550, Saved by Grace. Melanie, if you'll play it for us, please. Through twice so we can have a chance to actually learn it, I think.
And I love you. And I shall see.
Let's children's hour. Time. Hour. Is that right, Mary Jo?
We don't do children's time in an 8 o'clock service. So.
So I assume the children need to come up front. Good. Thank you so much for that. That's something we big children can remember too. God loves us all. We're time now to take our offering. Our offertory sentence is from 2 Corinthians, but just as you excel in everything, faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Will our ushers come forward, please? to tell you, the first time we sang this, stop, we're not going to sing another one. The first time we sang this, Miss Campbell loved it so much she joined the choir. So she says, if they can get up and sing that stuff, so can I. So really, we'd love to have you join the choir. We need you, and we have fun. And the best thing we do is we pray for each of you every Sunday night. We spend lots of time praying. So please join us. We'd love for you to be there.
Good morning. The first thing I'd like to do is thank all the ladies that participated in the service. As you know, this is something that we usually do once a year. Traditionally, it's on Father's Day. But I'd like to thank Joyce for kind of staying on me about the fifth Sunday service, because we also realized that, hey, if we do it on fifth Sunday, we only have to do it one time. So we kind of snuck that in a little bit. The few words I'd like to tell you about the Cumberland Presbyterian Women's Ministry is we do have a few things that we do support and throughout the year. One is we have a young lady, right now it's a young lady, at the Children's Home in Denton, Texas that we support. We have had things like clothing sales and things like that throughout the year. We're currently not doing that right now, but if someone would like to step forward and take hold of that, that'd be okay too. The main thing I wanted to talk to the women about today are we meet the first Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock in the evening. But this Wednesday is going to be kind of special. We're going to have a get-together ice cream social that will be a lot of fun. We're going to have a Jeopardy game that Elizabeth and Miss Carol have gotten together for us to do, and a bunch of ice cream. We hope that you will come. It's not always the meeting. We have fun, too, just like the choir. And we would love to have any woman of the congregation, and would invite anyone from the community that would like to come. So we hope to see you there. If someone walks up to you while we're over eating the brunch and says, don't forget about the ice cream social, it's just a reminder. And that will be at 7 o'clock this Wednesday. And now Karen Miles is going to do the installation of the officers, and she's going to tell you a little bit more about that.
Good morning. Not only do we do really fun stuff with the CPWM, we also have at times different business that we have to attend to. So we have several women who have volunteered to be the officers for the CPWM for the year 2006 and 2007. This is a two-year term, so I would like to announce those women, and if you will, please come forward. Julie Beaumar is the treasurer. Rebecca Fielder is our secretary. Elizabeth Ewing is a president-elect or a vice president. And Deborah Eckert is our president. I guess I would just like to ask you ladies, you've got the duties and responsibilities since you were our officers last year, but I guess we need to make sure that you're still willing to fulfill those duties and carry out those duties throughout the year. Okay, thank you. As former president of CPWM, I would also like to just make an announcement that it is really a fun group. We do business of the church. We do outreach business at times. We socialize a lot. We try to keep different business that the officers have to be involved in kind of maybe before the meeting or after the meeting, so we don't get too bogged down with business during the meeting. again, just as Deborah said, if you've never been to a CPWM meeting, we really encourage you to come and visit and to fellowship and just to kind of see what we're all about. Thank you.
Our scripture lesson today comes from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
I have some short friends. Hi, I'm a longtime member at Jenkins. I've attended here regularly for over 17 years now, 18 years maybe. I attend here so regularly that for the last 7 years I've had my own special seat. It's over there. And yet, a year or so ago, I met someone outside our church and in the community, and I don't even think we were in Nolensville. She said, well, I live in Nolensville too. I said, really? And we talked a little further, and I said, well, where do you go to church? And she said, Jenkins. When I'm in town, I go to Jenkins. And I looked at her, and I didn't recognize her at all. I didn't remember seeing her face. And she looked at me, and she didn't really recognize me. And I felt really awful, because that's one of the things we like to do is bring people in, make them feel comfortable. I felt like I had really, as the older member, senior member, I should have made her feel welcome, and so I apologized, and I told her I was the one at the piano, and then she said, well, I kind of remember seeing you there. So that's when I realized I don't get to see who's here on Sunday mornings, because I start playing before, as you all are coming in, and I keep playing until you leave. And so I have my back to you the whole time, which enables me to play, because if I had to look at you, I wouldn't be able to play. So if this is kind of nice that I get to stand up here and see who's coming to church these days. Of course, I'm a little bit hampered in the fact that I am also extremely nearsighted. So after about the second or third row, I can't tell who's up there anyway, which enables me to stand here and speak to you, because I don't feel like there are too many folks out there. Not long ago, I went to a funeral and introduced myself as a friend from Jenkins Church. And again, I got that look. So this time, I turned around and said, you recognize me now? I said, yeah, I think I do. So when I was asked to deliver the message for this CPWM service, I saw this as an opportunity to stand face to face with you, to get a good look at you, and to apologize if I have not introduced myself to you and you've started coming to church within the last 7 years. Sit with me at brunch today and let's catch up, because we need to get to know each other. And by the way, at that CPWM meeting, and they are all fun, yes, we do have fun, the one to plan this service, I was deeply moved that I was unanimously elected to speak by Deborah, who said, well, I've already spoken, nobody wants to hear from me again. And Diane, who wouldn't be back from vacation yet. And then since there were only the three of us there, that left me. My mother calls that scraping the bottom of the barrel. Still, I'm honored to be standing here and thank all two of you for electing me to do this. Deborah gave me some specific instructions, so she said, talk about something uplifting and keep it short. Uplifting, I have no problems, but as you can see by my sermon title, All I Need to Know About God, I learned through being a mom. I have two daughters and a son-in-law, and my children will tell you that what can be said in 50 words, mom can say in 150, so I'll try to keep it short. You're welcome to get up and go to brunch if I'm not finished in time. And about my sermon title, All I Need to Know About God, I learned through being a mom, well, it's not really true. I needed a catchy title, something to put in the bulletin, so I played on Robert Fulghum's Success. A few years back, he wrote that All I Need to Know, I learned in kindergarten, things like share and take a nap and don't run with scissors. And that list has spawned many copycat ideas, including You can check them on the internet. All I Need to Know I Learned on the Internet is out there. And All I Need to Know I Learned from VeggieTales. And All I Need to Know I Learned from Noah's Ark. Things like plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. And stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone might ask you to do something really big. My daughter Liz came home from college with a t-shirt that says, All I Need to Know About Vampires I Learned from reading Laurel Hamilton's books. And I'm a little scared to find out what that one's about. Indeed, what I have learned about God has come from many sources over my lifetime, starting with parents who taught me to pray and took me to Sunday school. I have Sunday school certificates dating back to the cradle roll, and have been blessed with so many wonderful Sunday school classes, classmates, and teachers here like Gene Fetter, Jim Pope, Mary Beth Rowland, Becky Leonard, Mary Jo Bryan, Carol Gouin. I've learned so much from listening to preachers, radio preachers like Chuck Swindoll and Adrian Rogers and Max Licata when he had his radio program, and now reading books. As well as having the advantage of hearing Larry's sermons twice each Sunday for a number of years now. A few years ago, Sam Sutter led this congregation in a challenge to read through the Bible in a year, and with Julia Bomar's guidance and sometimes insistence, I did that too, and I've learned so much from each of those experiences and from all of those combined. And I certainly don't think that being a parent gives me any special information about God that can't be learned otherwise. But since I find that I personally learn best through concrete illustrations, through real life analogies, I think that God has used my relationships with my children to teach me about my relationship with Him. And so it's a few of these illustrations that I want to share with you today. First, as a parent, as a young mom, Susan, you can attest to this, I disproved the theory of evolution. New babies are little, but their stuff is very big and goes on forever. And I soon figured out that if evolution were true, new mothers would have more appendages by now to hang diaper bags and things on. Genesis 1:27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. I wonder if I look like God to anyone. I learned about forgiveness as a parent. Forgiveness with my children. Young children have an incredible ability to forgive their parents for their parenting mistakes. Each day brings a fresh start, a clean slate with young children. That's not always true with teenagers, but with little children, they don't remember the parenting mistakes you made yesterday. But what I learned about my relationship with God, too, is that my ability to forgive stretches when it comes to my children. Anything they ever did wrong, because mine are older now, they're 24 and 20, and things they did wrong when they were little, I don't remember them. They're like water that has washed under the bridge, over the dam, wherever it goes, down creek. Recently, Liz, my 20-year-old, and I had a conversation about how we don't like to disappoint people. We don't like to let people down. And Liz said she was really sad when she hurt me and disappointed me. I was so surprised. I said, "When? You have never disappointed me. I love you just the way you are. I always have." And she said, "What about when I made you cry?" I said, "When? I don't remember ever you making me cry. I remember crying over you for different reasons, but never you making me cry." And she said, "When I shaved my head." And she's right. Pat Gillibrand told me when she walks in the door, just burst out laughing. And so I was all ready, and when she walked in the door with her head shaved, I burst into tears. I said, "Well, that was kind of a shock, and I don't want you to do it again, but I have truly forgotten any pain that it caused at the time, and it never had anything to do with how I loved you or feel about you." Liz had been holding on to this hurt. It's been 2 years now since she did that, and thinking that she had hurt me maybe irreparably. I wonder how many hurts or mistakes I'm holding on to, thinking that God can't forgive them and can't forget them because I caused him so much pain. I'm his child. I wonder if he looks at me with that same surprised look I gave Liz. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago Peggy sang that beautiful song, What Sin? Is that what God says when I insist on hanging on to my old hurts that I think he can't forgive? What sin? He doesn't remember it. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Learned a lot about gifts, giving gifts, receiving gifts as a parent. When my children were little, I'd give them things, the things that I thought they needed, but maybe things they didn't want, like that underwear at Christmas time. Sometimes giving them what I thought they wanted or what they should want, my giving was imperfect. Sometimes they didn't appreciate my gifts either. Even though my gifts were good for them, they didn't seem to understand that. I wonder if I ever failed to appreciate the gifts my Heavenly Father has given me. I know for sure sometimes I fail to thank him. John 1:16, for all of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. On the other hand, when my kids have brought me gifts, when they were little it was crayon drawings with I love you mama scribbled on it, wildflowers, special rocks, handfuls of acorns out of the yard, they called them nut gold. I was always delighted. Anytime they just bring a little something. I still have a heart-shaped rock in my shadow box and a box full of those crayon drawings. My Liz is a very good gift giver, and she always really works hard to get a very personal gift for me at birthday and Christmas time. When they give to me, I'm overjoyed when they bring me any gift. When it is chosen carefully and special and thought about and presented to me, that just touches me so much. Does my Heavenly Father delight in my simple gifts? That little bit of service I do, or that little bit of money I put in the plate, or that little bit of praise I throw his way? I'm his child. Does he mind that my gifts are sometimes just out of obligation and duty? How would I feel if I enter his gates with thanksgiving and come before him with a heart of praise? How would I feel if my kids did that for me? I learned a lot about relationships. I learned about relationships with me and my kids. I love being with my kids. I want to walk with them. I want to talk with them. When they were little, I always wanted them to experience new and good things. But I also wanted to be there to guard against dangers, to comfort them, to carry them when they needed me to. Now that they're grown, I still want to walk with them and talk with them and to guard them against danger and to comfort them. I spent the last several days going to Murfreesboro to be with my Katie as she recovers from surgery. She's doing well. I've rubbed her back and filled her water cup, and I'd do anything to help her through this difficult time. I wonder if God still wants to walk with me now that I'm grown up, to spend time with me. Does he still want to guard me and comfort me, to pick me up when I fall? I'm still his child. Hebrews 13:5, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Isaiah 43:1, fear not, for you are mine. When you pass through the water, I will be with you. Being a mother of grown children is different from having them at home with me and underfoot all the time, and I find that I'm confident in the people that they've grown to be, and I don't need to monitor their every move or manage their agenda, even though sometimes I want to, they won't let me anyway. But I do like to hear from them. I want to know that they're okay, whether they're in the next room or down the road in the next town. When the caller ID shows that it's Liz or Katie on the other end of the line, my heart literally lifts, and I smile as I answer the phone. I'm always glad to hear their voices. I wonder if my Heavenly Father feels the same way when I call him. When I stop what I'm doing in the middle of whatever, say a prayer of thanks, or a prayer of praise, or even a prayer of need, Does his heart lift when it's my number on his caller ID? I'm his child. Does he still want to hear from me? Paul advises us to pray without ceasing. I've learned about relationships with each other. As much as I wanted and worked to develop a good relationship with each of my children, it has always been even more important to me that they get along with each other. Nothing delights me so much, even now, when my girls get into this rapid-fire talk between and giggling in between. It's like a sister shorthand sometimes, and I don't always understand what they're talking about, but they'll start a word and then laugh together. And likewise, nothing has ever stressed me more than when there's a cold silence or even angry words between the two of them. Fortunately for me, those times have been rare. But I do know that those times are more painful for me than when my child is angry with me. I would rather they be angry with me than with each other. I wonder if that's how God feels. When I treat his other children unfairly, unkindly, does that cause him pain? They're his children too. Paul advises us to, as much as possible, live peaceably. In Matthew 5:24, we're advised by Jesus to first be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering to God. So I think getting along with my brothers and sisters is pretty important to my Heavenly Father. Through my children, I've learned a lot about my relationship to God through His Son, Jesus. Some of you were here this Sunday. I introduced my future son-in-law to you, and this big 6'5", 300-pound guy stands up, all hair, beard. He's a big guy. If he had shown up at my door at my house, I would not have opened it. He was pretty scary looking. Eric probably thought I was pretty scary too, and he wouldn't have wanted to get to know me. But when he came to me, he was holding my daughter's hand. She was holding his. We both know and love Kate. So I let him in, and I've come to know and to love him too. As the parent in that scene, I got a glimpse of my relationship to God through Jesus, the great mediator. Such a wonderful plan God has. I am too unworthy. I am too intimidated to stand alone in front of the omnipotent, omniscient God with all my sins showing. Like Adam and Eve, I would run and hide. Like our children hide things they think we cannot see. Like Katie used to hide her peas in the refrigerator, thinking, tell her mom she ate them, thinking that I would never find them there. But a God in human form, I can walk with him. I can hold that nail-scarred hand that Jesus holds out to me, and I can let him lead me out of my hiding place, out of my pain and my mistakes, and together we can stand together before God. I imagine that one day I'll stand there holding his hand and he'll say, "Dad, this was mine. I've chosen her." John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." My Liz was able to get tickets to see the Goo Goo Dolls this summer, and she was really excited at the opportunity. I didn't buy a ticket myself. I was not don't know who they are. We talked about who were her favorite groups, and then she started saying, "Well, I would pay this much to see somebody else. The names all sound alike to me." And she was getting more and more animated the whole time. "Oh, and I would love to see this. I would travel this distance, and I would pay this much to see..." So, and then she looked at me, because I wasn't getting excited with her, and she said, "Who would you pay to see?" And the first answer that popped into my mind was, "You. I'd pay to see you and Kate and Eric." And I thought about how much I would pay to see my children. I'd already paid over $500 to go to Maryland to see my mother this year. And I'd pay, if my children were far away and needed me or I could get to go see them, I'd pay at least that, I thought. How much? What's the highest dollar amount I would pay to see them? That's a pretty expensive ticket, $500 or more, but I'd pay even more than that. I wonder how much my Heavenly Father would pay to see me. When Kate was 12 years old, we started this process with the abdominal pain, and she was hurting for a long time. Resulted eventually after 4 months in exploratory surgery, and her pain was relieved. When Liz was 17, she was in similar pain and faced surgery to remove fast-growing tumors. As a parent, you feel so helpless watching your child hurt. Psychological pain, physical pain, emotional pain. And they've been through all of these different times. And there are times when I have prayed so hard that, Lord, just give me their pain so they won't have to go through this. I'm very right-handed. And I remember explaining to them, honey, when they say, Mom, fix it. I'd say, honey, I would cut off my right arm if it would fix you. I wouldn't even think twice about it. There's no doubt that I would cut off my right arm, trade places with my child in pain. And if it came right down to it, throw myself in front of that school bus or whatever's coming down the road to save my child. There's just no doubt in my mind. And I know many of you feel that way, if not for a child, for those that you do love that are very close to you. Would God cut off his right arm for me? Does he love me that much? Would he die for me? He did. John 3:16. God loved me so much. He gave his only son. Himself in the form of his only son. For me. I love you all out there too. Don't ask me to give one of my children's lives for yours. That would be hard. But God did that. He loves me that much. He loves you that much. And you. Each of us. So much that he became flesh. He died to save us from eternal pain and death. And that's how much he loves me. So my sermon title is true. After all I really need to know about God, I know from being a mom, that God gave his son because he loves me, each of us. He loves us that much. Got to go back and play the piano now.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you.